I just texted him actually and told him we were praying for him this morning. He just texted back and said thanks. So continue to pray for the Kearns family and remember them if you will. Well, this morning we're working in Romans chapter 8. We've been in Romans for a while, and I told you we're going to be in Romans chapter 8 for a few weeks. We're specifically going to look at verses 26 through 28 this morning, but to kind of set the picture for you, let me give you some background. Most of you know that I came to faith in middle school. I wasn't a Baptist. My mom was Baptist. My dad had Lutheranism and Methodism in his family, and so the individual who shared the gospel with me, his dad was a pastor, so I went to that church. My parents worked on Sundays, so I got a ride with Darren, and we went to church, and that was good for me at the beginning, and I think the Lord was preparing me to see what ministry was on that side, on this side of the pulpit, and seeing Darren's dad and that sort of stuff as a kid was really influential in my life. But as time passed by, two things significant happened. One, I started realizing that even in 9th and 10th grade, that what was being taught there wasn't as much Bible as it was kind of Reader's Digest and kind of throwing some Bible in there to make it feel good. Lots of stories and that sort of stuff. And at the same time, I'd encountered an individual named Jonathan Gibson, who I'd become friends with, and started telling me about his church. And so I started going to that Baptist church at Park Avenue, and really the rest is history, not only in my life and becoming a Baptist, but in friendships with Jonathan and all that sort of stuff. But let me say this about us as Baptists. We don't have everything perfect and great, and there's some areas where we're kind of like negligent. And I think one area where we don't do a great job in acknowledging is in the work of the Holy Spirit. Just think about that. As Baptists, that, in this, I guess the picture is supposed to be of a dove, it makes us a little uncomfortable, right? We don't have a problem talking about the Father. We don't have a problem talking about Jesus, our redemption. But when it comes to the Holy Spirit, to His work, to His ministry, to what He's doing, we just are a little silent on it, right? Maybe we're afraid if we talk about the Holy Spirit, people will think, oh, you're getting charismatic, are you? The next thing you know, you're going to be speaking in tongues and raising your hands. So as long as we just kind of like don't address it, we're not getting too close to the edge. But let me tell you this. The Holy Spirit is part of the triune God. He is of the same authority, same power, same oneness as the Father and the Son. And He exists now. There are some who believe this idea called modalism. Modalism is where the Father existed in the Old Testament as God. God existed as the Father, as revealed in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, God existed as Jesus, especially the Gospel times. And then from Acts on, God existed as the Holy Spirit. So He's kind of changed modes, transformed Himself. That's not true. The Bible clearly shows us the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all exist simultaneously. You see it at the baptism of Jesus. Jesus in the water, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my Son," and the Spirit descending from the sky and landing on Him as a representation of the Spirit's presence. So they all three are involved in our salvation and in advancing the gospel. So this morning, let us be mindful, the Holy Spirit isn't some scary ghost, but it is one of the triune members of our Godhead and one who does an amazing work in us and through us for God's glory. So look over with me at Romans 8 for a minute. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Listen to what it says here. "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. For we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose." As we begin this morning, let me just remind you about the promise of the Holy Spirit. And we'll get to Romans 8 here in a second. But just remember, when Jesus was the last moments of His life, really, with His disciples, He tells them in John chapter 14, I'm going to go back to the Father. And it's good that I do because I'm going to send a helper. In John chapter 14, verse 16, it says this, I'm going to send another helper. He will be with you forever. He is the Spirit of truth. Again, in chapter 16, he tells us that the helper is coming, right? Now think about this with me for a minute. The Holy Spirit has multiple roles. I shared with the first service, this message really challenged me all week, not because it was tough to figure out what Romans was saying, but to figure out which way to go. And really, until like 8:15 this morning, I wasn't sure. I had two different messages, and I wasn't sure which one to preach. And so I went with the one we're going this morning, and some people in the first service said, that was a good choice. But I'm going to give you in a nutshell what the other message was, because that's kind of how it lines up. The work of the Holy Spirit. One, he brings inspiration. The words that we have in Scripture are of His inspiration. You see that when He says, but all Scripture is God-breathed. The God they're talking about is the Holy Spirit. You see that in Peter. It says that the Holy Spirit was prompting these men to write these words. Jesus says, when I'm gone, the Holy Spirit will bring to mind all that I have said and taught. So the Holy Spirit empowered Matthew, Mark, Luke, John to write the words that we have in the gospel. He brings about this inspiration of Scripture. But not just inspiration. Second, He brings about illumination. So the Holy Spirit uses the words that He communicated to individuals to write to bring dead men to life. How are people saved? They're saved. What does it say in Romans? We'll get there. Faith comes through hearing the Word of God. You don't get saved by listening to TV and funny jokes. What saves you is what is written in this book. Oh, who inspired this book? The Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit takes the words that are being communicated. He brings conviction. The Bible says Jesus said, He will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. So what He does is He takes those words, shows that Jesus really did die and was really raised, that you really are in sin, that you really need a Savior, and does this work of regeneration in our heart. He illuminates our eyes, our spiritual eyes and our spiritual heart, so that we see. And then once we're saved, third, He empowers us. There's this process. So what does it say? Stay in Jerusalem until you receive power from on high. The Holy Spirit comes down and He empowers the disciples. And it's not just with His presence, but also in 1 Corinthians it says the Holy Spirit gives spiritual gifts as He sees fit. So every one of you in this room, if you're a believer, had that Holy Spirit living in you, and the abilities, the gifts, the talents that you have are from Him. Fourth, the Holy Spirit works to assure us of our salvation. Ephesians chapter 1 says, He is the seal, the promise that we've been redeemed. He testifies with our little s spirit that we're God's. That He who began the good work in us will be faithful to bring it to completion. God, who began the work of salvation in us, will be faithful. That Holy Spirit is that promise from God that what I have said is true, and here's the seal of the Holy Spirit letting you know it is sure. Listen, that Holy Spirit, which did all that with the words, which inspired men, which brings about regeneration and conviction, is the Holy Spirit that right now, if you're a believer, lives in you. The same Holy Spirit that empowered Peter to stand in Acts chapter 2 is the same Holy Spirit that's in you. The same Holy Spirit that came and empowered Saul to become Paul and become the great missionary that he is the same Holy Spirit that is at work right now in you. Isn't that amazing to think through? So that's four ways. I didn't say the fifth. The fifth way that the Holy Spirit works is what we're going to look at this morning, and that is He works as an intercessor on our behalf. So, inspiration, illumination, empowerment, He gives assurance, but He also serves as an intercessor, which is what Paul was getting at here in Romans chapter 8. Notice what he says there in verse 26. we have some insufficiencies. He says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our what? Weakness. One of the insufficiencies that we have right now is that we are weak. We don't like to think of ourselves that way, do we? I mean, America, we're strong. We can take on anybody in the world. We're the best nation ever, right? But in Christ, really, if you're a believer, what you need to recognize is we are weak, and He is strong, right? Jesus loves me, right? And that's the song we sing. We are weak, but He is strong, right? That's the truth of what we say. We are weak. Think about it. We are weak physically. We are not God. We cannot do whatever we want. We can't just speak things into creation. It doesn't matter how bad we want something. Just because we want it doesn't mean it will happen. We don't have that power. We're weak, right? But it's not just we're not God. We're just weak in general. We grow tired. We grow weary. Even when it thinks about spiritual things, we grow tired in praying, right? We don't always pray. We are weak in our prayer life. Seriously, y'all, you know what's going to change the world is when the people of God really take God seriously and begin praying. That's the truth. What a great power source. He says, ask of me great things and I will do them so that you would bear fruit and my Father would be glorified. But for so many of us, our prayer life is so insignificant. We're not fervent in prayer. We just grow tired with it. We grow weak with it. Think about the disciples in the garden. They couldn't even stay awake with Jesus for a little while to pray with Him. An example of weakness as it ties into prayer. Think about this as we think about people being weak. Right now, if we went over to the rock, if I asked the children, who was the wisest man besides Jesus who ever lived, they would probably say who? Solomon. I'm just checking to see if you know your basic Bible, right? Okay, the wisest man would be Solomon. If we said, who was probably the strongest man, they would say whom? Samson. Yeah, Samson. But when you read the story about Samson, where does his power come? You say his hair, but be careful. The Spirit. Every time he's about to do something, it says the Spirit of God came upon him and he does amazing things. His hair was kind of a representation that he was God's, that he was set apart, right? But hair doesn't mean any power, right? Holy Spirit means power. And so when the Holy Spirit would come on him, he would have great power. That's why when he was captured, ultimately, I mean, his hair was cut, but if you read it, it says the Holy Spirit wasn't with him. Think about somebody else who was weak. Peter. That boy was a coward. He wouldn't talk to a little girl when Jesus was being betrayed and handed over and all that stuff. He was hiding in an upper room, but it was when the Holy Spirit came upon him that he then can go into wherever and say, beat me, do what you got to do, but I believe Jesus has been raised from the dead. What was the change? The Spirit had come upon him. We are weak. We are weak. But a second insufficiency we have is our knowledge is limited. Right? Practically, nobody knows the future. If you knew the future, man, you just think about the things you would be able to do and the scary things, right? Think about if you knew how you were going to die. You knew what was going to happen to your kids. You knew what was going to happen tomorrow at work, right? I mean, I think from our flesh, we immediately start thinking, oh, how can I get money? Oh, I do this on a game, or I know lottery numbers. That's how the world thinks, right? But what it really means is this. You know all the things that are going to come. That is such a good gift from God that we don't know what's about to happen. But the other side of that is we don't know what's about to happen. We're limited. And we're limited because we don't see the whole picture. All I see is what my eyes, my spiritual eyes, allow me to discern. And I only see it here in West Palm Beach, in Florida, in the United States. And I don't have the big picture of God's global work. My knowledge is limited. Not just because I don't know the future and I don't know everything, but because a lot of times, spiritually, I just don't know how to pray. Just basics. I don't know how to pray. And I don't mean just like, you know, our Father who art in heaven kind of prayer, or, you know, adoration and confession and thanksgiving and supplication. No, what I mean is, a lot of times we just don't know what to pray. Let me give you a real personal example. I've shared about my sister before, in some degree or other, but I don't know if some of you really know how bad off my sister is. She's had multiple heart attacks. She's had strokes. One side of her face doesn't work. She can't hear. She's deaf. She had some kind of, like, her bone was exposed to air, so it's dead. She's in a wheelchair. She can't see. She can't eat, right? I don't know what else. Just everything, really, you can think about. I mean, that's my sister's problem. And she's had it since she's 5, and it's only continuously gotten worse. She's a juvenile diabetic that just has all kinds of physical issues. And here's her brother, the pastor. That's how my mom sees me. How am I supposed to pray for my sister? Because you know what I pray? Lord, take her. Because that's what she wants. But then you start thinking, so what you're telling me is you're praying that your sister would die? Any of you ever go through those kind of emotions? I don't know what I'm supposed to pray for her. Is she supposed to get better? Lord, is that what you want me to pray? Lord, continue to give her life. Continue to allow her to suffer and experience all these bad things because she suffers. Or should I pray, Lord, take her home because she's suffered enough and she's honored you and she believes in you and she wants to come home? What do you pray? I don't know. And I recognize some of you, you have parents who are getting to an age where you don't know what to do with them. Some of you have asked me, Pastor, why is my loved one still alive? Why doesn't the Lord just take them? How should I pray for them? I don't know. We don't know sometimes what to do. And we feel guilty when we really say what we want to pray. Lord, take them, because they have served you well. They have run the race. They have kept the faith. Take them. But we don't know what God's doing. And it's hard. Our knowledge is limited. So it causes us to be stifled when it comes to praying. And sometimes we just don't pray then because we feel like, well, he didn't answer my prayer last time, or he didn't do what I asked, or, you know, it doesn't really matter because he doesn't hear, he doesn't care, right? I mean, you ever feel that way? I mean, you've been asking for this and it just doesn't happen and you just don't know what to do. All of those things, that's our insufficiencies. But notice what Paul says here in Romans. The Spirit helps us. He serves as our intercessor. Look at the way. Number one, he intercedes with us. Verse 26. So all the areas where we're weak, the Holy Spirit, whom God has given us as a helper, thrives. Verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Notice that it doesn't say the Spirit changes us and makes us strong. It says the Spirit helps us in our weakness, meaning this. It's good for us to be weak. It's good for us to depend on God. It's good for us to know we don't know everything. We don't know most things. We don't know how God is working. We don't understand everything. And it forces us to say, you know, God, I don't know exactly what you're doing, but I trust you. I trust you, right? He works with us. He intercedes with us in the midst of our weakness. Notice what it says there. For we don't know what to pray as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Now that's an interesting passage, and lots of people are all over the place at what it exactly means. Does it mean that the Holy Spirit is making ununderstandable sounds to the Father on our behalf, these groanings? But if you remember last week, we talked about groanings. All of creation groans as it waits for the sons of man to be revealed. We ourselves inwardly groan. So is Paul just using that same idea, saying groaning? It's just we just recognize things aren't right. Is it that the Holy Spirit is taking the very things that we're struggling with, the very things that are deep in our heart, the things that we're pouring our eyes out, we're pouring our heart out, and he takes those things, our desires, and he communicates them to God? Is that it? He takes our groanings, and he presents them to God. Allison and I will celebrate 15 years of marriage this year, and one of the amazing You need to clap to her, not to me. She's the easy one. So, but one of the things that happens in our marriage is, and maybe some of you can relate, she knows me better than anybody else. And I can pull the wool over most people's eyes, right, about how I'm feeling. How are you doing today, Pastor? Oh, I'm good. Right, or whatever. But I can't fool her. I'm just pointing where she's sitting. She knows me. She knows what's in my heart, right? She knows the things I long for. And even, I don't have to even say them sometimes. Sometimes I can just, and she kind of knows, right? I think that's good. I mean, the amazing thing there is the Bible says marriages are kind of symbolic of our union with God, with Christ. So it shouldn't surprise us that if our spouses kind of know us, what we long for, our groanings, how much more would God Himself know what we long for in our groanings, even if we're not able to articulate them? So maybe, using the example I gave, maybe it's something like this, when He intercedes with us, and I don't know what He calls Him, I'm just using Father because that's what Jesus called God as Father, but He says something like this, Father, You know Travis wants Kim to be healed. He longs for it. His heart hurts for her. Maybe that's what He's doing with those groanings. He's able to articulate the very things that are at my core that I just can't articulate. But it's not just that He intercedes with us, but He intercedes for us. Look again at the text. For we do not know what to pray as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. The good news for us is it's not just a buddy or a spouse. Allison knows me, but she doesn't know everything. She doesn't know what the future holds. She doesn't know what's going to happen, right? But guess who does? That Spirit that resides in me, who is making intercession on my behalf. It says He knows the will of the Father. He knows what we want. He knows the very longings of our heart, but He also knows what the Father wants. The Holy Spirit that is at work in us knows what God is doing among the nations. God knows what He's doing. That Holy Spirit knows what the Father is doing in your workplace. The Holy Spirit that's in us knows what He is doing in your child or your grandchild or your spouse. And so He knows what we're praying for, and He knows what God is doing. And I think when He's praying for us, yeah, He might be lifting our prayers to the Father, but He's also saying stuff like this: I'm praying for you that you, me, that you'll be able to submit to the will of the Father. I'm praying that you'll be able to understand how God is working, that you'll have patience believing and understanding that God is working, that you'll see maybe even a glimmer of the bigger picture of God at work. Because He's not just Robin Williams, the genie in Aladdin, that's just going to give us whatever wish we want. He's going to do what glorifies God. And He takes our longings, and He knows what God the Father is doing, and He lifts them up, and He takes those things that God is doing, and He begins revealing them to us. Some of the ways He does it is through Scripture, or through somebody else that gives testimony to us, or encourages us, or speaks words to us, because He knows what we need in those moments. He knows that we're weak. He intercedes for us. And the good news we have is we can have confidence in His intercession for us because He knows us intimately. The Holy Spirit knows you better than anyone else. He knows your heart. He knows what you long for. He knows your desires. And He doesn't just know what you want. He knows why you want them. Because we can say this, oh, I want a new car because my old car is broken down, it's always at the shop, blah, 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 and I want to take people to church and blah, blah, blah. But the Holy Spirit knows your heart saying this, I want a new car because my neighbor just got one and I'm tired of driving an old car. Right? Any of you ever say those kind of things? You say one thing. I see people being elbowed. You say one thing, but inside you know you want something else. Holy Spirit knows that. He knows us. He knows why we're praying what we're praying. We can't trick him. He knows the things we dream about, we focus upon. He knows us. But he doesn't just know us. Even though he knows us, he loves us intensely. That's the most glorious thing. Because sometimes, if you really knew somebody's heart, that's kind of our fear, right? If you really knew me, you really wouldn't like me. Like when you start to date somebody or whatever, remember that maybe for some of you a while ago, you kind of hold back, you don't want to play too many of your cards, you don't want to be too emotional or you share all that stuff because you're afraid that if you're too transparent with them, they'll run off. The amazing thing is the Holy Spirit knows us and he still loves us. He loves us even though we say, I want a car to transport people to church, I want the car because my neighbor. He knows that and he still loves us. He loves us despite our desires. He loves us despite our sins. Which leads to the third point of confidence, and that is this. His intercession then, because he knows us and because he loves us, is for our good. Which is where verse 28 comes in. So he prays that he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Verse 28, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. Now, many of you have heard that verse. We take it out of context. We just throw it around kind of flippantly, right? And we're going to look at that verse in particular next week. But think about it in the context of this chapter. We got a Holy Spirit who serves as an intercessor for us. He knows what we want. He knows the will of the Father. And we know that those who love God, all things work together for good. Well, what's it saying? Well, I think what it's saying is this. There's that song. You can't, the Rolling Stones, right? You don't always get what you want, right? I won't sing it. Never mind. It popped in my mind because of House, not because of Rolling Stones. Anyways, you don't always get what you want. And when that happens, as hard as it is, we should say it's for good. We may not understand in the immediacy of it. We may not understand all of our life why this happened. I understand. Why hasn't he healed my sister? We've been praying for that since she was 5. It's 30 years. And for some of you, why did my spouse die? Or why did a child die? Or why is this person not getting healed? Or whatever the situation is, right? All I can say is God knows what we're praying for, and the Holy Spirit knows what God's will is, good, perfect, glorious will. And so what the confidence we can have is those things together should certain us that what is happening, the way that he's answering, what he's doing in our life is for good. We may not see it for good, like when we tell our kids, eat your vegetables, it's for your good. They don't think that, but we know that, right? That's in a sense what he's doing, but it doesn't have to be stinking Brussels sprouts. It can be, I'm God, you don't understand how I'm working, you don't understand what's going to happen 10 years down the line, but I want you to trust me, I want you to know, I love you, I love you, I've given you my spirit, he rests in you, he prays for you, he makes intercession for you, I know exactly what's going on in your life, I know what you want, trust me. That's hard, isn't it? It's hard. But it's also our confidence that the way the Holy Spirit prays, when he takes our prayers and God's will and he meshes them together, it's for our good. Because if we looked at it any other way, then I don't know how we live. I don't. We don't understand why these things happen. But God is good. One last thought and we're done. Notice in verse 27, again it says, and he searches hearts, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for whom? For believers, saints. So what that means is, if you're not in Christ, if you've not believed in the resurrection of Jesus, that his death paid your sins, then the Holy Spirit doesn't rest in you. You don't have somebody making intercession on your behalf. You are alone. You are by yourself. Your prayers in many ways are just, they are stopping at the roof. All the while, God is saying, look, you can have this immense power source. The Holy Spirit can come and dwell in you if you would believe in Christ. But you must turn. You must repent. And let me just say this for you who are believers. When you don't know how to pray, don't give up, because the Holy Spirit's praying with you. When you don't know what the future holds, don't give up, because the Holy Spirit does, and he's interceding on your behalf. When you're not certain what the days look like, and you're not certain that the things before you are good, rest in God's Word. What God is doing is creating a glorious peace. It's like that bush in your backyard. You prune some branches off to make it beautiful, to bear flowers or fruit or whatever it is. It's hurtful to the plant, if you want to say you've had feelings or whatever. When it gets cut, you cut arms off, you cut branches off. But it creates this beautiful display that God has made. And that's what he's doing in our lives. So let us boldly go before the throne of grace, knowing that we don't go alone. We go with a great intercessor who prays for us and with us. Let's pray. Lord, I know that today there are some here who are battling. They feel like maybe you're not listening to them or you're not giving them the desires of their heart. And Lord, I pray that this message would remind them, if they're a believer here, Lord, that's not true. You know exactly what they want. You know it more than they want. They know. And Lord, for whatever reason, maybe you're withholding it for a time, or maybe it's just not the right thing, but Lord, enable us to trust. Lord, you know it's good. And Lord, yes, this life is not going to be without pain, and there are things that are going to happen to us that cause us heartbreak and cause difficulties. And Lord, that doesn't mean you don't love us, and it doesn't mean you're not in control, Lord. So, Lord, let us be confident knowing that the things that we need that honor you, that are part of your will, Lord, you will give, and you will give in great measure. And the things, Lord, that maybe we're asking for that are not of your will, would you transform, showing us how to pray in accordance to your will? And Lord, when you're silent, when we don't hear what you're doing, let us not grow weary in praying. As the text says, we ought to pray, but let us do so knowing we pray with your Holy Spirit interceding and groaning on our behalf. And Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.